Hey, Gary, are you on?
I'm on.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you.
I am.
All right. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your patience. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, January 14th, 2026, called to order at 12:06 p.m. And could we go ahead and have roll call, please?
Yes. Okay. Alice Sandagi?
Here, and my name is pronounced Sandagi.
Sandagi. Okay.
There's no N in it. Yeah. Thank you.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Jessica Bassey?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Ken, did we lose you?
He's on mute.
Ken, can you unmute?
I went to last month's link, and I got on, and I got off the phone.
Okay, there you are. Thank you, Ken.
Mauro Trejo?
You're on mute, Mauro.
I'm here. I'm present.
Great. Thank you.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard?
Don't forget Rhonda.
Okay, and Rhonda Kendrick-Bonis.
Here.
What do you have?
Okay. 16? I have 16, yes.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, keep an eye out for others and be sure to get all the other folks listed as well. All right. Thank you for that. Item two is our land acknowledgement statement. Commissioner Lozano, could you read that for us, please?
Sure. Thanks, Terry. On behalf of the residents of the city of Tucson, the city of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Good. Thank you for that. Item three is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 12-10-25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
So moved.
And that's Blake, or is that Andrew?
Andrew.
Okay, thank
Andrew.
You, Andrew. Yeah, thank you.
Wait,
and who will second?
Did you get that, Terry?
Is that you, Blake?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thank you. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, could you call roll on that vote, please, Tracy?
Yes. Okay. Alice Sandagi?
Yes. Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
And Tim Haggard? I see that he's on, but I don't hear any sound.
Tim, are you on but muted?
Looks like he's unmuted.
You missed my Trejo as well. I'm an I.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I was counting and it wasn't the correct number. So you forgot Navarro. So we have 16, and then Tim is... I don't see him. Do you? Let me see. Yeah, I don't think Tim is on unless, should we ask? Tim, if you're on, could you get off and get back on or call in one of the two? Or are you on the phone?
No. I think he just left. He was on and then he just.
Yeah, he'll probably get back on. Okay. So anyway, the motion passes, the minutes are from December are approved as submitted. Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. I am pleased to announce that we have a new appointee from Ward 5, Rhonda Moniz, and I had the pleasure of visiting with Rhonda on the phone last night, and I would like to ask her to just introduce herself to you so that you can at least put a name to the face if she can turn her camera on, or maybe it's on and I'm not seeing it.
There. Hi, everyone. Everyone can hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm really pleased and honored to be part of this committee, so thank you so much. My name is Rhonda Kendrick Moniz. Rhonda Moniz is fine. Rhonda's even better. I'm a native Tucsonan, so... born and raised here. I've moved around through Albuquerque, Phoenix, but my father's been kind of a staple in the Tucson community. So if you've ever been to Mr. K's Barbecue, it's in Ward 5, Park and Silver Lake. He also has Afro-American Heritage Museum there as well. So historic preservation is something that's really just kind of near and dear to my heart, just growing up here and seeing our community develop and grow. However, there's so many, as Terry and I were talking last night, there's so many great communities and neighborhoods that are just part of Tucson, and that's the charm of it. So everything from Barrio Anita to a lot of historic neighborhoods that are just dear to my heart. So happy to help. I'm looking forward to looking at what some of the subcommittees do and just ready to roll up my sleeves wherever I can be most useful. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Rhonda. And you know, we can't welcome her in person, but I'm going to be putting her in touch with a couple folks. Desiree, you're one of them. And I think that Rhonda will be a great addition to our commission, and thank you. Anyway, we'll move on to item 5 then. Recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes, and you can access things that are posted at the link below, but you can also move over to things that the LAR, you know, is posted and not the final minutes. So a lot of stuff goes on when I get it posted, when I send it in. And so that's a good resource. I have a few things I need to get posted, but I try to keep up every couple days. So item 6, removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I don't have any at this time. Item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office, and we'll start with Desiree.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chair Majewski, and welcome, Commissioner Moniz. I really look forward to working with you. Welcome to the commission. One update, kind of internal. We have a really fantastic graduate student who is starting to work with us this semester on her capstone graduate project. She's a student in historic preservation and planning, and will be focusing on best practices for city-owned cultural resource management and stewardship. Some of you, maybe most of you, know her, Ricky Riojas, so we're super excited to have her working with us this semester. And she will be at some point presenting, you know, her work to the commission, and I'm sure working with some of you, asking for information and things like that. So just to give you a heads up, she might be reaching out to some of you about that project. Today we held our internal kickoff meeting for the Mexican American Historic Context Statement with our project consultants, Jen Lovstick and Dr. Lydia Otero. So stay tuned for updates on that. We'll eventually have a community meeting and reach out to stakeholders as part of that process as well. A couple projects I wanted to mention, project reviews. So the All Saints project in Armory Park we're starting to receive submissions for that, their permit applications and historic review in TDC online. So staff is working our way through those reviews. Once the applications are deemed complete, those will be scheduled for review at both Armory Park Historic Preservation Advisory or Historic Zone Advisory Board and then PRS. So I don't have dates for those meetings yet, but stay tuned. We also have a courtesy review happening at West University Historic Zone Advisory Board on January 20th and PRS on January 22nd for 714 North Euclid. So that site is currently vacant. Some of you might know it as there was a proposal to put the Euclid Hotel there so that that there were historic buildings present. Those buildings were demolished. It went through the full mayor and council approval process where there was a replacement plan required. And so that the Euclid Hotel was that replacement plan. So funding never panned out for that hotel. So the owners are looking to install a paid parking lot on that site. So that will be coming forward for a courtesy review. Wanted to give you all a heads up about that. And they would need to rezone it, and they would need to get mayor and council approval again to approve that new use. Let's see. We will be holding an annual training for the Historic Zone Advisory Boards on February 28th. I'll be sending out an email about that this week. Commissioners are also welcome to attend, and you know, can provide more information about that as it progresses. And then I will hand over to Johnny, our archaeologist and cultural compliance manager, to talk about our cultural compliance work.
Thank you.
Before I get started, I see that Ken's hand is raised up.
Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, Desiree, on this Euclid issue where the person was going to put the owner was going to put a hotel, now they're going to do a parking lot. Is there any check or anything in the process to make sure that this proposal wasn't sort of a phony proposal just to get the buildings down and now they're going to do a paid parking lot and I'm assuming speculate on the land and just see what happens farther down the road on that? Is there a way that we can prevent this happening? It's nothing new in Tucson, but is there a way that we can do a check or something about that?
That's an interesting question. I don't know how we would do that, but I mean, it will have to go through the full process again, essentially. So it will go to the the advisory board, PRS, through that historic review. It also has to go through a rezoning review. So we'll have to go to the zoning examiner and then mayor and council. And so through that process, it's possible, you know, we could, their original process, they had to provide that economic justification. So there might be some sort of, you know, update economic piece to that.
Okay, I would assume on the dark side now that their intent was to get the buildings done, gone, put this up as a straw man or a straw proposal. Now we've got a parking lot, we're going to make it produce income while we're waiting for our final objective of what we want to build there. So, and I'm just wondering, is there some kind of safeguard or other check? Or this is, you know, it's constantly been used in the past and it's always a good ploy. And I just wonder if there's any way that they can have to put a bond down, that they are going to proceed, to do some mechanism to try and weed some of this out. Just.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but.
Another question is, out of the room for a second, you've hired a new person on staff to deal with city-owned properties? Is that?
No, it's so Ricky Rojas is a graduate student, and she's focusing her capstone kind of, you know, senior project on that topic. So it's a class project essentially, and she'll, you know, produce a deliverable for us and a kind of present to the commission at the end of the semester.
Okay, when we get to city-owned properties, I'll bring this up again. All right,
thank you. And Ricky is also, Desiree, I think you're probably aware of this, she's an advisory member of the commission when she went off the commission to go to graduate school. So she's well-known to most folks here. So, okay, we had a question from Carlos.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Just to add to what Ken said, aren't some projects supposed to have a penalty if they're not followed through with? Because that's, I think that's what Ken was referring to, is all these projects where they make a proposal and they demolish everything and then they just decide they don't want to do it. And I thought that the city was had penalties for that now because they realized how common it was.
I don't think there are penalties. I mean, we can permit a project, but we can't force a developer or whomever to build something. Financing might not work out or whatever reason. So I don't think that we can't force them to build that. You know, there was permitted for that. So it is their, prerogative to seek a new proposal if they so choose.
Okay. I had another question. I'll wait till item 10. Thank you.
Okay. We have another question. Ricky, it looks like you've joined. Welcome.
I just wanted a clarification on Ken's first point. I'm not paid to do this work. Like, it's for my class, but it's volunteer work, so I'm not taking up, like, any of the historic preservation budget that's going towards other really important projects.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks.
Of course, okay, it would not be a waste of funds.
Yeah. Carlos, did you have something else, or did you not put your hand down?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put my hand down. Yeah, I'll wait till item 10.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Sounds good. And Johnny, you were about to tell us about compliance projects?
Howdy. Johnny Knightenweiser, City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. The HPO has a pretty busy January. This past Monday, we had a cultural sensitivity training, and our facilitators came from the four Southern tribes, and we had a really fantastic attendance. 79 people were on the check-in sheet, so probably plus or minus 80. And we had directors, assistant directors, project managers. And so I think this is really really important in kind of discussing, why it's important, to protect and preserve cultural resources. And so this is just one prong of the city's kind of commitment of, really addressing issues related to cultural resource compliance. We're continuing to work with our policies and procedures working group on our proposed revisions to the AD 1077, protection of archaeological and historic resources in city projects. And so we're hoping to, we got some really great feedback from the working group, and we're going to follow up with them again, and we're also going to be reaching out to, our PDSD directors to get their take on it. So it's going to be a long process, but I think we're already getting some really good feedback to update that. And then on that note, this morning we just had a meeting with our housing department and SHPO regarding a programmatic agreement for our HUD projects. That still needs some work, but we're, you know, closing in on kind of a final draft that can be reviewed by, you know, our higher ups. And so we're really looking forward to that, to kind of streamline our compliance process with our HUD projects, which are mostly single family home repairs. We have another training, cultural compliance training with PDSD tomorrow. And this is just like, you know, Desiree and myself are meeting with all the departments, you know, one by one, kind of spread out to like make sure that everyone's on board with our, you know, cultural compliance and review process. And then as far as a few projects that are going on, Parks and Rec is proposing to make some changes to the Del Ulrich golf course right by Reed Park. Class 3 survey has been conducted for that. And I think like one of our primary concerns was just taking a look at the historic context of that and, you know, seeing are there, you know, take a look at the historic context and seeing how the project will or will not impact historic resources. And then the Class 3 survey for First Avenue improvements, basically from Grant all the way up to River, a draft of that is done, and I've been taking a look at that. You know, the current plans are that there's not going to be any historical period buildings, you know, directly impact it. So I really like that. Helen. You're mute.
Helen, you're on mute.
Okay, it worked. Johnny, I just want to make sure that the golf course alteration goes to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee.
Okay.
So if that is something that we should have on the agenda this month, could you send that to me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, thanks, Helen.
We're continuing to conduct archaeological monitoring at South 10th Avenue, and you know, that's going really smoothly. And we have, you know, kind of time, you know, projects, you know, in the hopper as well. And we're just trying to like scope those out. So those are some of the big ones.
Great. Any other questions for Johnny? If not, we appreciate that update. Desiree, did you have anything else you wanted to share?
No, that's it. Thank you all.
You're good. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 7B then. We have Pima County Conservation Lands and Resources, Cultural Resources and Heritage Preservation. We'll start with Ian.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon now. First of all, I'd also like to welcome Commissioner Moniz. Welcome. We're very happy to have you. And I also want to take an opportunity to really commend Desiree and Johnny and the HPO office. The work that they have been doing in the past month and a half has been really remarkable. And the progress that they're achieving, and even in the circles at the county in our different areas of coordination with the city, we hear just really a lot of positives coming on the education that's happening on the city side. So we are just so thankful and so grateful for both of you and what you guys are doing. And we are here to support you. And I don't just mean the county, but I think this commission as well. So really great work to you guys. I'm also happy to share on the county side that the reorganization that I talked about for our office is complete. The appointments have been made, and we are preparing to hire for two new positions that I mentioned previously. First is a senior leadership position that is our cultural resources compliance manager. That person will be overseeing all of our compliance programs and supervising two additional staff that we hope to onboard next year. And then our culture resources preservation analyst, who will be a very new position and the first of four positions that is primarily driven to the stewardship of the resources that are on our conservation lands, involving field work, survey, monitoring, documentation. And that person will be working under Courtney, who is our new culture resources preservation manager. So we are very excited about all of that momentum, and we will look, I will send it to Carla to send to you guys, but when those jobs post, I would really appreciate anything you guys can do to circulate those new positions in your fields to get kind of the best applicants notified. So all of that is great. We also are Conservation Lands and Resources, our departmental advisory board, is fully established. We do have two outstanding positions that are not filled, and that is a tribal representative from the Tana Othum and a tribal representative from Pascua Yaqui. Carl Herrig, the tribal historic preservation officer, is on the board, but seated in the TIPO position. But these are specifically positions for tribal members. That advisory board has met twice now and into its third meeting, which is coming up in January. This is all on the CLR advisory board's website, where you can see the minutes and everything. But we are embarking on a 10-year visioning plan for the department in conjunction with that board. And I will be bringing back some opportunities for the commission to have input on that visioning plan as we move forward this spring. We are presenting to the Four Southern Tribes meeting on Friday, on the consultation with Native Nations or Tribal Nations policy initiative. That we presented to you guys. Really looking forward to that. And then we are going to engage in one-on-one discussions with any tribes outside of the Four Southern Tribes that would like to have a more government-to-government conversation about that policy initiative. I unfortunately am going to have to leave early today, so I just did want to say one quick thing about the Arizona State Museum item that's on your agenda. The only update I have is that prior to the holiday, ASM did send out a confirmation that the new rates and fee schedule will go into effect July 1st. I've talked a little bit about the impacts that that's going to have on our county program. I'm sure the city as well. And so I am still in the process of kind of trying to do an analysis based without any actual numbers about what that cost ramification is going to be to our program. County administration is well aware of it, and we're looking at opportunities to figure out more programmatic approaches to absorb some of these rates and fee increases. I have good news on Atkins, is that the city and the county do have a meeting scheduled at the end of this month, specifically to discuss Atkins property. And so hopefully we should be having a better update for the commission at the February meeting. And then county administration has graciously allowed me to attend Preservation Advocacy Week in Washington, D.C. in the first week of March. I will be there in attendance with Catherine Leonard, State Historic Preservation Officer, and Raylan Williams, Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for Gila River Indian Community. And that is all I have for you at this month. Any questions?
I have two questions, one from Carlos and then from Ken.
Yeah, hi, Ian. Thanks. And I was really excited by that presentation you gave last month about the sort of enhanced liaison with the Four Southern Tribes. And I was hoping to see like a PDF of that, but you said it was sort of in progress. Did you want to wait before distributing that, or what, or where are we at with that?
Yeah. So the while we have a kind of skeletal version of the policy as it needs to meet kind of our internal processes, the real content of that policy needs to be driven by our tribes in what works best for them via programmatic approaches and project-specific approaches. So what I'd like to do is I'd like an opportunity. I presented the initiative, the overall intent of what we're trying to do. I'm doing that tomorrow to the Four Southern Tribes. Now, at the Four Southern Tribes meeting, again, it's a presentation to all four, but then we engage one-on-one with each of the four and other tribes that have interest in our region on what they would like to see in terms of programmatic language in terms in that policy, as well as project specific. And then I would bring back to the commission a kind of more robust draft of what that policy looks like before it moves through to our board for execution.
Okay, that's great. And just as a side note, I'm assuming that they are going for unanimity between the four tribes on any issue like this. Is that why you're presenting to all four at the same time?
The four southern tribes have always requested that the four be presented together, and then from that you engage in one-on-one discussions with each. So that way everyone has an opportunity in the same room to hear the information, and then there are more specific government-to-government engagement with each individual tribe to ensure that their specific preferences or protocols are addressed and incorporated in, if it can be.
I see. Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Ken.
Thank you.
Hi, Ian. Needless to say, you perked my interest when you said you were having a meeting at the end of the month on this. I've been talking about this for years. Do they need any more information or update or a little bit of a history of advocacy about this building? Or do you think they realize how long I've been advocating for this?
I can speak only for the county side. Desiree, feel free to chime in. I believe that at least county administration is fully aware of the history of this property and the county's interest in it, as well as obviously because we manage the bond, which is where really this all started. And even going back before the bond with the historic district zone that the county had, I think that at this point, no additional information is needed from the county perspective, but I can't speak for the city.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because it's been about a year ago that I made an appointment with the county administrator last year about all of this. So Desiree, do you have any thoughts on that?
I would say I would echo Ian's comments in regards to the city as well, but I can certainly extend, you know, or express that you've shared, you know, that you have more information to our city manager, if you would like.
Okay, because the previous person in your position, I was talking to her probably 2 years in that time. So it's been a very long time on this, and realizing that the decline of the building, I watched for years while nothing was done from the city perspective. So whatever meeting you're having, the city is, I can put guilt at this time now, but the city was certainly participating in demolition by neglect over the duration of.
Okay. Well, what I could say is Desiree and I should have news. I can't promise it's going to be good news or bad news or whatever news, but we should have news in February as a result of that meeting on direction on Atkins. It's been a long time coming that we've needed a meeting, and fortunately one has been scheduled. So.
Oh, good. Well, I can't promise you I'll wake up in the morning, but if I do, I'll certainly wait to find out the information. So. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ken, and thanks, Desiree and Ian. Ian, did you want Courtney to report on anything, or?
Courtney, if you have anything you'd like to add?
I don't have any big project updates this month, but I would like to welcome Commissioner Moniz. That's all.
Great. Thank you, Courtney.
Commissioner Moniz, just so you know, Courtney Rose is our Cultural Resource Preservation Manager handling our preservation programs, as well as a lot of our compliance in the interim. And then I'm the Historic Preservation Officer, and we also have Scott O'Mack, who is our historic preservation analyst, works with us. Unfortunately, he's out today, but we look forward to meeting you. And if ever you'd like to stop by and get a little orientation on the county side of things, we welcome you. So thank you.
Yeah. And thanks, Ian. I alerted, Rhonda, I gave her lots of information. So probably more than she needed in that condensed period. So, but, very eager to learn and to meet everyone. So, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7C, which is the City of South Tucson. I don't see Joshua Lycia, but Commissioner Lozano, do you have anything to report to us on this?
I texted Josue this morning, tried to get a hold of him. I don't know of anything. I gave a couple updates last month. You know, actually, Ricky might know of some, have news on City of South Tucson if she wanted to chime in. But I'll contact Josue, and also I'm attempting to find out if he wants to have someone else give his report. Anyway, but that's all I have to offer on that.
That's great. Ricky, did you have anything you wanted to add about South Tucson?
Yeah, we're continuing to gather oral histories as part of the Cultural Heritage Project ongoing in South Tucson that we have the Latinos and Heritage Conservation Grant for. And then we're also looking at doing some select focus groups. Focus group is like more of a structured word than we're really going with. But to really look at what are other locations that members of the community find important that the city should focus on preserving.
And Ricky, that other Capstone project was tremendous. That was amazing. And I was going to have that distributed, but I forgot to do that. You know which one I'm talking about, Ricky? Sort of an overview?
The CAPLA did a Capstone project for the City of South Tucson. And they're actually continuing to work on one. They have another group of students from CAPLA working on a project that is also like historic preservation focused / adjacent on where the city could start to build foundations to have a formal historic preservation program of some sort in the city. Carlos, do you have that one? I can send you the other one from last semester if you need it.
Sure, I've got that, and I'll send that to Terry. Because it's the most history that's ever been done yet, and so it's a good thing for everyone to have in their files. But thanks, Ricky.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, thanks for that update, both of you, and we'll move on to item 7D, which is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. And I believe Lydia's on, but Lydia, I was going to say that when I received the update yesterday from DTM, that comes through the email, I had it forwarded to all commissioners, so they should have that access to that. So Lydia, you're there.
Hello, yes, good afternoon, everyone. I know we're approaching week 3, but happy new year. So I don't have many updates, but I did receive some responses to questions that I got from the commission. So I'll go through those responses that I got from project teams. Right. Starting off in the First Avenue project, I know Jonathan mentioned that there was a class 3 report done. Something I'll add is that a minor historic review will be done for the demolition of the First Ave Bridge. And I will certainly report on those findings as well. The First Avenue Improvement Project is still on schedule to submit a draft design concept report at the end of the year. So definitely more to report on that as the project progresses. Moving on to the Tucson Rapid Transit Projects, which goes along Stone all the way from the Tucson Mall at Tohono O'odham to the Tucson Airport. They are currently, that project team is working on a Section 106 review through NEPA. And this includes a Class 1 cultural resource report. And again, I'll certainly come back with those findings to the commission once that comes out. Finally, there was a question posed about the 5th and 6th Avenue improvement project. And this was about specific vegetation within a center median on 5th Ave and Country Club. And I think I'm able to share my screen just so we can take a look here. So this is 5th and Country Club. Can everyone see this? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Beautiful. So there is some existing vegetation in there. This sidewalk was recently reconstructed. New vegetation was added, and I was informed that the vegetation will be maintained throughout and after the project's completion. That is all I had for you all. I'll open it up to questions, comments.
I think Carlos wants to start. Carlos, go ahead.
Hi, Lydia, and welcome. And so one of the things that I was curious about were any full or partial takes that you're aware of in Grant Road, Phase 3 and 4, or 22nd I-10 to Keno. When would you know about those? I mean, for instance, say on the First Avenue, is that already known, or is that yet to be known?
And sorry, were you asking about acquisition, land acquisition?
Yeah. Either full or partial.
So another note that I have is that they're working. I will get back to you on that, on exactly when we'll know. I know that they are strategizing mitigation activities to minimize to minimize impact of acquisition. I'm not sure where they are in knowing the land acquisition on those projects, but I will certainly connect with those teams and get that back to you for next month.
Okay, great. Because, yeah, they're all at different stages. And so, again, it was 22nd I-10 to Keno, and then Norte Sur, Stone Avenue, and then Grant Road, Phase 3 and 4. Because I'm kind of curious on Grant Road whether they're all, whether everything has been demolished that's going to be demolished, or they're still doing that. Because there's still some interesting resources along there.
Right. And for 3-4, because it's pretty far along and they're currently in construction, as we all know, I believe we would know that number. I just don't have it offhand, but the team for that project should certainly know.
Okay, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you. Helen?
Yes, thank you for checking into the vegetation question. I hate to be a nervous Nelly about this, but does that mean that irrigation will continue as required there? Because that's always the question.
Correct. Yeah. And I know too that, with, you know, additional vegetation added, there is a bit more intense irrigation and watering that we, to establish those plants. So those existing plants might get some additional water as well.
That would be nice. Thank you. That was what I was checking.
Great. Thank you, Lydia. We appreciate it. And, glad you're here today. So we will move on to item 8, which is commission, subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. So 8A is plans review subcommittee. Desiree or Michael, do you have anything to add other than what Desiree already reported?
I do not have anything, Madam Chair.
Desiree, you neither?
Yeah, no additional comment.
Okay, thank you. Item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hagyard reports on this, but I did not see that he joined, and I don't see him at all there. So
I'm here.
Oh, what time did you join, Tim?
Well, originally I joined at 12:09, and then I was on a new computer that I didn't realize doesn't have a microphone, and so I logged off and logged back in a few minutes later. It took me a little moment to get on the other computer. So, sorry, long answer. We'll say 12:11.
Okay, you have that, Tracy?
But I did hear that vote, and I was in agreement, but I couldn't
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the timing's about right, but we were okay for a quorum, but glad you're here. So do you have a report for us on?
Yeah, so downtown, the DNARC has been sort of in hibernation, and we're hoping to bring that back on this year, but we have not been meeting, so I don't have anything to report.
Okay, we'll put down that you reported briefly that there is no report. But that you're getting back on it. So, great. 8C then is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Erickson.
Yes. We met on December 18th, and there were a number of things that were covered at that time. I'm going to let JJ present some material on that. But we had a courtesy review for the Arizona Hotel. They are requesting a vehicle, a modification for the grading for vehicle access from the parking on Broadway to the parking in the back. And this will not directly impact the TCC landscape. So we felt this was, you know, probably fine. We brought up the fact that the Arizona Hotel is immediately adjacent to the historic Butterfield Trail. And Mr. Barrett, who from Arc Studios, will contact Ms. Aranda to arrange a presentation for plans review as far as additional modifications are concerned. So that was one thing. And then the second thing was, this was a major thing, was looking at the changes that were being proposed for the parcel for Project Blue. And the Butterfield National Historic Trail, also previously, you know, a significant indigenous trail, goes through the northeast corner of that property. And Ms. Rose updated us on the various layers that run through that. And what we would like to see is memorialization of that part of the trail in the context of the development for the data center. It has been sold, so this property no longer belongs to Pima County. However, Pima County has very specific regulations in and overlays in terms of what can happen there. So as a result of this, Commissioner Lamb moved that the commission submit a letter to Pima County, City of Tucson, about 18 different other groups that I can give you a list of. And JJ, could you read what mm-hmm. the motion is and yes. what we intend?
Yeah, so here's the motion. The Butterfield Overland Trail is a network of historic alignments and station sites that include significant landmark view sheds, cultural landscapes, and archaeological and visual evidence that remain present on the ground today. The commission and the subcommittee respectfully requests that Pima County and the City of Tucson review their land holdings to identify opportunities to protect these resources and to link existing and future trail systems within their jurisdictions to the Butterfield Overland National Historic Trail currently under development by the National Park Service. The intent of this request is to support coordinating planning efforts that enhance public access, preservation, interpretation, and long-term stewardship of the Butterfield Overland Trail on county and city lands. And then there's a laundry list. And I will say that I know Pima County is being very proactive about protecting identified, you know, where it's possible and is related to that piece of property that was recently sold, being proactive about those protections. And so okay. I want to say thank you.
Yeah, do we have a second for the motion?
I definitely second this. And the commission, the subcommittee, in the subcommittee, it was seconded, passed by a vote of 3-0.
3-0.
Right. So JJ is making this request of the full commission, mm-hmm. and I second her request.
Okay, so thank basically, you know, motions come out of subcommittees, then they're passed by the full commission. So you're asking me to write a letter to certain individuals whose names you will provide?
Yes.
And you will provide me a draft of the letter to work with.
Would you like me to read through the list?
No, I mean, that really shouldn't be part of the motion. That can be, you know, that can be part of what you send me to prepare the letter. So, okay, does everyone understand that? So that's my comment on the motion in my discussion. Anyone else, or are we ready for a vote on that? Okay, Tracy, could you call roll, please?
Yes. Alice Sadonghi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Joel? Joel, you're on mute.
It's frozen. Oh.
Okay, let me see if I can unmute
him. I'm sorry.
Do you vote aye on the motion?
Yes, I did. I apologize. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick Moniz?
Yes. Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
And Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 17-0.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. I would like also to add at this point that JJ and I met with Supervisor Cano this morning and explained to him our concerns and that he is also very supportive. So I think this is something that is going to receive general support.
Great. Thank you very much, both of you. Okay. Is that the end of your report, Helen?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks again. Item 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'll try to be brief. Oh, I wanted to welcome Commissioner Moniz, and Rhonda's being modest. Her dad, Charles Kendrick, he's an absolute Tucson treasure. This like makes my whole month to find out that she's on the commission. He's the greatest guy, and we're so lucky to have him in his African American museum. And I was going to go down there recently. Anyway, let me keep going. So transportation, just if you don't know, so we don't just handle like street lights and things like this. This is anything that any historic resources or cultural resources within the commercial corridor or along or adjacent to historic roads, anything like that. And so things end up in our subcommittee that had no place else to go. Like they didn't go to PRS or they were didn't if it's not a historic landscape. So an example of that would be something that we were I didn't know what to, I couldn't find anything information out about this, but there was some controversy about demolition of the Rock, that nightclub, and that goes, as far as I know, that goes way back. That building was in the 40s, was a Red Cross headquarters. I don't know what was going on with that, but Park and Ninth, that was actually a commercial corridor back in the old days. There was gas stations and things like, and there was a firehouse adjacent to that. And I was kind of curious if maybe Commissioner Bassey might know, have an update for us on that, because I couldn't find any good information. I thought maybe the situation may have been resolved, but I don't know. Does Commissioner Bassey can help
for
us?
For the Rock?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that it's kind of a bigger story than just the Rock. It appeared that TUSD, which has the adjacent property at 1010, was in the process of negotiating a deal to sell the parking lot that is adjacent to the Rock. and they were going to sell that to a developer for student housing. And my understanding is that that project fell out of escrow in December. And I believe that that was the impetus for the potential demolition of the Rock, since those are adjacent parcels. So I'm pretty sure that's why the Rock gets to live.
Okay. Desiree has something to add.
Yeah, that's accurate. A pre-application meeting was held, so it would have gone through the IID review process. So that would have come to historic eventually, but the project essentially is on pause or maybe it's fallen through. I'm not sure, but at least right now it's not moving forward.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Jessica and Desiree. Go ahead, Carlos.
Okay, so then let's see, RTA next. If you have questions on that, you can either watch or attend a live Arizona Public Media presentation program. I'm not going to be able to get there. I'm working. It's Thursday, January 22nd at 5:30. But that should be very interesting to, you know, give the commission some more information on RTA next. Let's see, on Rio Nuevo, there was a meeting yesterday. There could be a couple of interesting projects on there, but it's very hard to tell from their agenda what they have proposed and even what the projects are, because they identify the projects by the name of the current business or the proposed business, and they don't even let you know at all, you know, if the building is historic. And that is actually, there is a lot of transparency problems with Rio Nuevo. So it's hard for, and then also, since I can't attend these meetings, they don't post their minutes or transcripts for months. And so it's very hard to keep track of what they're doing. So what I'm trying to say is that if any other commissioners, who live adjacent to Rio Nuevo areas, you know, like Commissioner Christopher, if you hear anything, you know, definitely let us know. But it's very hard to keep track of Rio Nuevo. And we all know that Rio Nuevo can do some really great stuff, but then sometimes they do things that is not so great. So one other thing would be on TEP. So there is a – so what this is about, the Midtown Reliability Project, are these 100-plus foot power poles, and these are not like the ones on Grant, which are really tall, but these are even taller than those, and we've been recommending undergrounding those for years now. So what's going on now is TEP applied for a special exception land use permit to the zoning examiner, and that is the hearing is January 29th, and so. So we will make our same recommendation that we made, I think, a year or so ago, to the other zoning examiner, the previous zoning examiner, and because this violates the university area plan, and also Helen, this also violates new plan Tucson LT28.1.2, which we had a hand in. So, Terry, I don't need a motion to do that.
No, because remember we did a blanket motion for all things that would be needed because they're all related to this way of commenting.
Great. So I'll get that to you, and I won't put it off till the last minute.
And keep on. I have to go to the field the 25th, which is a Sunday. I have to leave for the field. So we have next week to get it to me.
Okay, for sure. Okay, and that's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Carlos? Thanks for that good report. Okay, let's see. Item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald?
Yes, hi. They actually have their meeting tomorrow, so I'll report on it at the next meeting here, but it's tomorrow, the 15th at 4 p.m.
Okay, so... at February meeting. Perfect. Thank you. Item 8F is the budget subcommittee, and I have no report. Let's go to Item 8G, Outreach and Training Subcommittee, Commissioner Lamb.
Okay. The Outreach and Training Subcommittee committee did not meet this month. Our next meeting will be on February 11th. I want to report that we are actively scheduling the two webinars on deconstruction. And as soon as we get the dates confirmed with our presenters, and I expect that'll be within the next couple weeks, we'll send those around. So those are webinars that the expectation is that all commissioners will either attend in person or watch the recording. We are working really hard to get those scheduled over what could be your lunch hour, either 11 to noon or noon to 1, to try to make it easier for people to attend. And I'll just say, if you attend in person, then you can, in person, ask all those questions about deconstruction and circular economy that I know you have.
In person virtually.
In real time, maybe that's a better way to say that. Real time, yeah, because these are all going to be virtual. Our presenters are from, one is from San Antonio and the other is from Boulder, Colorado. So be on the lookout for, you know, those dates to be announced here pretty quick. I'm also, and this I think was just sent around, the NAPC webinars, and I'm just going to reinforce that these are free. We have an organizational membership, and so all these resources, there's very few that have an additional cost to members, and there's a really interesting one coming up, and it is about preservation trades, and it's called Supporting Skilled Preservation Trades at the Local Level, What Commissions and City Staff Need to Know. That's on Thursday, January 22nd. And if you, I know sometimes when you register for these things, it can be a little anxiety inducing because it's hard to tell if it's going to be free or not. There's a code, and that was sent around. Just enter that, but you don't enter it until the very last page where you actually looks like you're going to have to pay $15. As soon as you enter that code, that zeros out. I would encourage everyone to register for that. If you register for it and you can't attend in real time, because you'll be able to watch it later. So,
yeah, anyway, and now, is this the email you sent me that I haven't sent out yet because you just sent it to me?
Oh, I just sent it to you yesterday. It hasn't gone out yet. But so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. Commissioners, expect that. Rhonda, I need to add you to the list, and I will. But the cool thing is that this also goes out to all the advisory boards and also to city and county staff members. For them, you know, we have that comprehensive of an organizational membership. Thank you.
Anytime you register for something, and it could be one of the great webinars that, you know, they have already posted online, it's going to ask you what kind of a membership you have. And so you would just want to check the organizational membership. And that's all that I have right now.
Okay. Thanks for all that. It's appreciated. Item 8H is the event subcommittee. That's me, and I have no report. Item 8I is preservation awards. I have no report. And we have item 8J, which is the TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group, and this should be either Commissioner Erickson or Commissioner Lamb.
Yeah, I think this is Helen. This sort of falls into my group. What I am very impressed by is the presentation that Desiree and Johnny put together for us. I think this is something that all of us as commissioners have wanted to see for a long time. And not only was their report excellent, but we had an opportunity to provide feedback on it. And next month, we will have a chance to look at a revised version. I think this particular document we're working on now, the administrative directive for the city, is incredibly important because it is the foundational document that gives Desiree actually the power to do what she needs to do. I also am thrilled by the fact that the county directive and the city directive are actually lining up with each other in terms of mutual support. So I think all in all, this was a very, very productive and positive meeting. And JJ, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I would just say I agree completely with everything you said. This is very encouraging.
Great, thank you, and thanks for all the hard work on that. And thank you to Desiree and her team and the county's support. So, okay, item 9 is ASM permitting and policy updates. Now, this is an item from Ian Milliken, but he has previously reported on this under 7B. So let's just note that, Tracy, in the minutes. Oh, and back to something else. JJ, can you forward me and Tracy your motion for under the landscape subcommittee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That'd be very helpful rather than me trying to gloss it from the recording.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Then we get it correct. So, item 10 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the city of Tucson. Commissioner Scoville, do you want to add anything here? Is Ken still here?
He's on mute.
Ken, are you on mute?
I should be off now.
Yeah, you are.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
I have a whole different topic. Every year for the last couple of years, I've gone out and sort of monitored myself. But there's a group of buildings out at Udall Park, which are the Magnetic Observatory buildings. And this was a scientific research through the federal government that was there from 1909 to 1995. And there were 15 buildings. Today there are 4. And I was very involved with this for over a year, probably around 2000. And the 4 buildings that I'm most concerned about, all out of adobe, and I know by now that they really do need to be inspected. There's always been some pushback from the city. I was hoping they would be used during the most recent bond to improve the parks, but they stayed clear of that. My greatest fear is that they're hoping they're just going to deteriorate. And so I would hope Desiree, and I know she's off, she's probably got something else going on, but I would like a formal inspection of these buildings. I would recommend Bob Vint because he is the best person, I think, on adobe in Tucson, and also a wonderful resource. I will hold this up, and Desiree, maybe you're not aware of this. This is about an inch thick, and it's an assessment of all the buildings that were there, pictures, maps, all of this, and this was done by Desert Archaeology. Homer Teal and 2 other people did great work on it. So it really references all the buildings that were there, the ones that were there. And this was when I was younger and I really went to bat. I wrote an editor, letter in the paper, was on television for all this. And they desperately need to get inspected, working out a preservation plan, what needs to be done immediately, if anything, and what needs to be done further down the road. I'll be happy to go out and be on site. I met with the aide for for the appropriate ward. I'm having a senior moment right now. And we sort of looked over the buildings a little bit more from the outside. But they sort of pushed back about spending some money. But it desperately needs to be done this year. Now, Desiree, I'll probably talk to you more about this over the phone later.
Okay, sounds good. Carlos, do you have a question for Ken?
It would be more, I think, for Desiree. So I was approached by an amateur historian that knows I'm on the commission, and he asked me to check and see if the city is aware that that Warner's Mill is sort of overrun by homeless people and it's being vandalized. And he said that he even thought that the petroglyphs in the surrounding area may have been damaged. Are you aware of that, Desiree?
No, this is the first that I'm hearing about it. So we could definitely look into that.
Thank you.
I just might add to that, the woman that owns the Solomon Warner House, which is a wonderful 1860s adobe at the base, she's right next door to Warner's Mill because that was Warner's house at one time. But she'd be another good resource to check about the situation and condition on those buildings. She worked at the State Museum for a lot of years. Terry must know her. Been very involved. It worked for the State Museum on preservation, archaeological issues.
Is that Diane Ditmore?
Diane Hadley.
Hadley. Okay.
So she would be another good resource to check about what is the status. Warner's Mill, essentially all that's left is the volcanic basalt rock foundation, but obviously you don't want to get that any more damaged than what it's been over the years. But she'd be a good resource to tell you what the status is.
Yeah, and Diane, years ago, she's a former commissioner, so involved in lots of things. Okay, well, thanks for those comments and updates. If there are no questions, we'll move on to item 11, Commissioner's Summary of Current Events. Does anyone have something they would like to share?
I certainly could. This weekend, I think it's 23rd or 24th year, they're having the Dillinger Days reenactment. And it's pretty campy, but it's still an interesting event to go to if you haven't. And they have a speakeasy the night before, so you want to get out your gangster outfits and all that kind of stuff. You have to check in your weapons at the door facetiously, but it's a nice event. And I've been the guest lecturer there for, I guess, 22 or 23 years. So I'll be doing two PowerPoint talks, one on the Congress Hotel history and one on what Tucson was like in the 1930s.
Nice, Ken. Thank you. JJ.
Okay, on February 9th, Vail Preservation Society, in partnership with Eric Means of Means Design and Build, will be holding an earthen plaster workshop. And it's part of a recent grant that we received from the National Trust for Historic Preservation to restore the interior earthen plaster inside the Old Vail Post Office. So that'll be sent around to all commissioners, shortly in the next day or so. But anyway, just wanted to bring that. We're very excited about that opportunity, and the opportunity it presents really to try and capture young historic preservationists who will maybe, be interested in this skill and then part of bringing up that next generation.
That's great. Thank you, JJ. I just wanted to mention.
Terry?
Yeah.
Terry, this is Alice Dongi. On Saturday, January 24th at Mission Garden, we are having an awesome storytelling event in partnership with the Saguaro National Park. It's going from 5 to 7:30 at Mission Garden.
And what was the date on that again? I'm sorry, Alice.
Saturday, January 24th. 5 to 7:30.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. Anyone else? Go ahead, Mauro.
I will just mention every month I do a monthly history social, the Tucson History Social. It has been at the Tucson Museum of Art for the past year. Normally on the first Thursday, it'll be moving back into the Sosa Carrillo House in April. But this month's topic, which is going to be happening on the 22nd, Thursday the 22nd at 5:30, is historic perception in the media and socially of Tucson's Barrio Libre.
Okay, I'm ready. Perfect. Thank you. I want to mention some of you were expecting an email from Carla, a reminder email, about the joining information
for today's meeting. And these emails are generally going to come from Tracy McAfee, who is doing more involved now with the commission. Carl is still keeping her finger on what we're up to. But look for emails from Carla Inclon and Tracy McAfee. If you haven't received your stuff, please don't wait until 2 minutes before you join on the meetings. Email me and say, I don't have it, and we'll get it to you. So as you know, they change up people responsible for the commission from the city clerk's office from time to time. But, you know, I was a little concerned after hearing from all of you that you would be attending that we were still straggling in, so it was worrying. And I guess it was difficult to get on, and Tracy, I don't know why that is. But, you know, we do have people saying they can't make, they can't get on from time to time. All right. So item 12 is called to the audience, and, were any comments received by the posted deadline?
No, nothing was received.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, item 13, thoughts on inclusivity. And just for Rhonda's information, this is just a thought by anyone on the commission can raise their hand if, let's say, something that we dealt with in the meeting relates to inclusivity, or if there should be something, or if someone's heard a quote recently or issue about inclusivity they want to raise. So, does anyone have a thought on inclusivity they want to share today? Mauro?
I will just mention it comes up just about every meeting, and I don't usually say anything, but the I know we talk about the four southern tribes, the Inde or the Apache, historically were also here, and I know that they currently don't have a tribe here. They don't have a reservation here. They don't have a casino here. But they are just left out of the popular narrative. They're left out of the discussion in most of the history that we talk about. And collectively, individually, we should probably make an effort to try and reach out or include them a little bit more, because they are one of the most significant parts of our history here in Tucson, the founding of the Presidio, street names. There's more Apaches here in the 1830s protecting the settlement than there are Mexicans and Otham put together. So they are absolutely a part of our history, and we just kind of leave them out. We don't mention them hardly ever. So anyway, that's just a
thought
on
inclusivity. Thank you for that, Mauro. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I want to add my thanks to Terry's. Thank you for bringing that up.
And also, because this is something I asked Ian about, is there anyone within any of those tribal heritages that would want to act as a formal or informal representative, or even just as little as to be CC'd in the things that we send out, you know? And I didn't really get a clear indication of that. Mauro, I mean, do you know anyone with heritage in either of the tribes that you mentioned that
we have over the years with the Tucson Presidio Trust, we've made efforts to try and reach out to them to get them more involved, and it is difficult simply because they were removed and they're gone. But we do have some connections. Formally, I should say, they're gone in terms of a formal governmental organization. They're gone from Southern Arizona. But of course, there are people, myself included, that have Apache, heritage. But we do have some connections that we've made, and we've begun to build some bridges. And I can certainly reach out to them and see if we can get them more involved.
Yeah,
I would love to do that.
Because Ian mentioned 13 tribes. I mean, that's a lot. That's
well, a lot. If you go to the State Historic Preservation website, the tribes have the opportunity to contribute to the government-to-government consultation toolkit. And in that, they say how they want to be consulted on for federal action, right? And so that lists all – I can tell you who those tribes are if you're interested. You know, if it's – you know, you can figure it out yourself, but there's there's areas for 30 different tribes that consult in Arizona, so it's harder to figure out. But you can see a map of the areas, the territories, whether they're ancestral or current, that they want to be consulted on. The state has a different list that you can navigate through the labyrinth of the ASM website and find the list that is used for state consultations. So that's why, you know, definitely the one on the SHPPO website, tribes populate that themselves. So I think that the ASM list has different histories, but yeah, it's very interesting. There are 13, probably in the federal list.
Thanks, Terry, for bringing that up. This is Alice, and I think that that's really the way to go. If you want to try to consult with tribes, is to go with that that document, that process that they themselves created. Otherwise, you're just talking to folks who may or may not have an affiliation or may not be the ones designated to speak. So I would thanks, Terry, for bringing that up. It's a good resource, and they put it together themselves. This is what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have trouble finding that, just email me and I'll send you the link, and you can, I suggest maybe looking at, you know, contacting the SHPPOs, the TIPOs, the Tribal Historic Preservation Officers, and they can, you know, they can maybe put you in touch with someone if they can help you. You know, some have larger staffs than others. Yeah, who's next? Helen was next, I think.
Yes.
Helen was next.
Right. I just wanted to congratulate Mauro for saying this, because this is a concern I have had for some time. And I think where we have the overlap is, and I've talked to Carlos about this too, our statement at the beginning, because it tends to be exclusionary rather than inclusionary. And I think we need to start considering how we might rework that.
Helen, this is Alice. I think if the commission is going to consider doing that, they need to have a consultation with the tribes before you do that. We can't just be saying that, because there's reasons why the government-to-government relationship thing with four southern tribes is working. They've been working with that for a long time. We just can't be going in and saying we're going to do this themselves because we deem it exclusionary. I really think that if that's the case, we need to have a consultation with them.
I think you're absolutely right about this, and I don't know how we would start that or lead it. Do you have a suggestion, Alice? Because I sort of feel that the official tribes are in some way colonialist.
Helen, you don't want to be talking to me about this right now. No, this is something I'll follow up with on you.
Okay. Well, let's
make it a point that we need to discuss, but we really, this is just, it's a great place to bring up ideas, but let's quickly hear from Rhonda and then Ken, and then Desiree.
Okay.
Just on the theme of inclusivity, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you all, commissioners, for the warm welcome. I'm looking forward to working with you all much more. I've identified a couple committees and subcommittees, so please don't be surprised if I hesitate, if I try to join a subcommittee meeting and learn a little more about the work that all of you are doing. And then, Commissioner Lozano, thank you for the kind words on my father. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Rhonda. Desiree.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention on the topic of tribal consultation, if we are talking about a government-to-government consultation, we would really like our office to serve as the clearinghouse for that. And it's also not just the commission, but even our city departments, because the tribal historic preservation offices are very busy. They hear from, you know, departments, governments throughout the state of Arizona. And so it's really helpful to them to have points of contact for the city of Tucson or for Pima County. So whether that's, you know, through reaching out to our office or Pima County, but I'd just like to recommend that we kind of go through these official channels if we are going to be doing any type of consultation.
Well, that's a great idea. And we could come up with some ideas that we could also originate in the Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group, because you're in there, Carlos.
we could, you know, bring it back. You know, I think that's a good place because the city and county meet together, correct, with our people.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, rather than, you know, create a new group, but we need to get the appropriate feedback from our commission. And that's a great idea, Desiree. Okay. Great. Thank you. Did you want to say some final word on that, Ken?
I just would tell, the link you mentioned concerning the tribes, why don't you send that out to everybody? I think that would be a good reference to just have.
Sure. G to G. And again, you know, we cannot contact them on, we should not contact them, you know, with any sort of item like this because it is government to government. And it's just a way to see, you know, who is interested in consulting on the Tucson area, really, if you're interested in that. So, okay. All right. Thank you. Item 14 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. If you have something you'd like me to consider for the agenda for February, we're meeting on February 11th, but I would need an item by January 30th. And, Rhonda, if you are interested in listening in on a subcommittee meeting, just let me know so I can let that, put you in touch with the chair via email so that you can, receive the joining link for the meeting so you can listen in. I think that's a really wise thing to do before joining a subcommittee. And there's, you know, that doesn't, free up the rest of you. If the rest of you want to join, or learn more about a subcommittee, please do that as well. And then the agendas are posted, but, you know, I'm happy to serve as a clearinghouse too for that. So,
great. Thank you.
All righty. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn. I really thank you for everything. And again, Happy New Year, a little bit late, but we'll embark doing great things, I'm sure, this year. So we're adjourned at 1:33, and Tracy, if you could hang on for just a minute, we'll let everyone jump off. Thank you. 1:33 is the adjournment.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.